And thank each of you for being here this morning. We have a number of people out today for the holiday, but it certainly is wonderful to have all of you here. And we appreciate your being here very, very much. You know, Memorial Day is always a wonderful time for us to really pay tribute to those who have gone before. It is a time for us to reflect upon our nation and to be proud of who we are and to be proud of those who have given their lives in the service of this great United States of America. How thankful we are. And I hope today that Memorial Day will have significant meaning to all of us that have come here. And that we will remember not only today, but in days to come, and in months, and in years to come, those who have suffered and died for this great land we call America. What is Memorial Day? Memorial Day is an official holiday in most states of the United States. It was observed on May 30th until 1971, when for federal employees, the date was changed to the last Monday in May. With the exception of Louisiana, all states observing Memorial Day adopted this change. But it is also known simply as Decoration Day. But the custom of placing flowers on the graves of the war dead began many, many years ago. As a matter of fact, in the year 1866, shortly after the Civil War on May 5th in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of what we traditionally call Memorial Day. And in 1868, General John A. Logan, who was then president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be the day to decorate with flowers the graves of the comrades who have died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. I hope that we will never, ever forget. You know, we are a nation sometimes that are prone to forget the important things. Sometimes we have a tendency to remember the things that are unworthy of remembering. But I hope today that we will remember those who have gone before, that this will not just be a day, but it will be a very special day, for many have given their lives. You know, the most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is the placing of the wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. Audrey and I, along with others, had the opportunity to be there a few years, and I can tell you that that was probably one of the most moving experiences that I ever had in my life. It reminded me of a number of things. It reminded me of my own personal freedom and how thankful and how grateful I am to live in America. It reminded me of those who have fought and died. It reminded me of how wonderful men were who were willing to sacrifice their families and their friends and everything about them to go into war and to battle and to preserve the great freedoms that we have here in America. But I can tell you, at that tomb of the unknown soldier, there are the words that are inscribed: unknown, but known only to God. Tomorrow we will really celebrate this day, but many people will just see it as a day off from the job, another three-day weekend, if you will. But for those who have lost someone in battle, or while they were serving in the United States military, it will mean more than a day off, but it will be a day of remembrance. We must honor those who have served so that their death will not be in vain. You know, when we stop and think about the freedoms that we have here and how blessed we are, as David prayed a moment ago, to be able to live here in America, how grateful we are. When we think of other young men and women who have gone off to serve in the military and who have given their lifeblood, that you and I might have this freedom of assembly, even as we have here this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, every American ought to recognize this day out of his patriotic duty to his country. and in honor of those who spilled their blood to make America what she is today, free, uncumbered by tyranny, strong, and a nation that is really worth fighting for. Because men have died for this country, you and I have a number of things. We have the right to preach the Word of God freely, and I'm thankful this morning that I can declare it to you without reservation at all, and I will continue to do that. For I will uphold the sacred precepts of my eternal God, who has given me this challenge. And it was Paul many years ago in Romans 1 and 16 who said that I am now ready to preach to you who are at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation. So we have the right to preach the word of God freely. We have the right to live at peace in our own homes. You know, when you look around the rest of the world and you see, no doubt, people breaking into homes, and you see sometimes the military trying to bring you out of your own home, how thankful we are that we have the freedom to live at peace in our own homes. And then thirdly, we have the right to pursue peace and prosperity and happiness. Oh, how blessed we are to pursue our own occupations, to pursue peace and our happiness. So I thank God this morning for those who have died to make us free. And as we prepare to enter into a day of remembrance of our liberty in this country, it is fitting to remember one who died to set us free from our spiritual tyranny as well. For Jesus fought the armies of hell that we might have a liberty in his holy name. Now, there are three things that we must do on Memorial Day, and I say must because I really believe they are a must. Memorial Day is not just another day. But there are three things that we must do. Number one, I would tell you that on Memorial Day, we are to mourn the loss. To mourn the loss. And many have lost loved ones. I was looking back this last week on the number of people who have given their lives in service of their country. Thousands upon thousands of young men and women who have gone into battle from day one when America became a great nation that she is, even now. All of those who have fought and all of those who have died, we are to mourn the loss. Do you know tears often are shed for those who die? Sometimes people think it's a sign of weakness to shed a tear over loved ones. Not so. For if that were the case, then our Lord would himself have been weak. But in the book of John, the 11th chapter and verse 35, the Bible says that when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, that even Jesus wept. Tears are often falling from the eyes of those who mourn the passing of those that they love. We mourn the death of our comrades because of their unselfishness. You know, we live in a selfish country. We do. We are prone to be selfish, but they lived unselfishly. When called upon, they served. When called upon, they went without reservation. And they have given us something that no one could give us. But we mourn this morning not only the death of our comrades, but we also mourn the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 29, Paul the Apostle says, I will give you now what I received of the Lord that night in which he was betrayed. The night in which he took bread and he broke it and blessed it and said, this is my body, take, eat. And as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And he also took the cup saying, this is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. And as often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. And so Christ is the one who gave his life for our spiritual freedom here today. But what about the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a time for us to examine ourselves as we memorialize our Savior, as we have done already this morning. We do not practice what some call closed communion. For we believe that the Bible teaches that a man in that 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, is to examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We are not to set in judgment upon others. But in the process of observing the Lord's Supper, we are to look at ourselves as if we are standing before a mirror. And we realize the truth in the words of Romans 3:23. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we're also reminded of what Paul would say in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. That God commendeth his love for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so today we claim our spiritual freedom because of the Christ who died upon the cross. And he provides this memorial supper for you and for me that we might often be reminded. And we do it every week because of the example within the Holy Scriptures. There are some who partake of the Lord's Supper every 3 months or once a year or Easter or Christmas. I think it is something that is worthy of remembering every Lord's Day, that day that Christ was raised from the dead. And I believe that's the way the early church observed it as well. For in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says that they came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. We need to realize in observing the Lord's Supper that we are the ones to blame, that we caused his shame. He was publicly humiliated, he was beaten, he was spit upon, he was treated as a sinner because we were sinners. And as we mourn the loss of our Savior, we realize that we really are the guilty ones. And know that if we were the only sinner in the world, Christ would have died for you and for me. For in actuality, Jesus did die for you. For you. In the book of Matthew 18, verse 12 through 14, there's a little bit lengthy reading here, but the scripture says, "How think ye," Christ said, "if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if it be so that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than over the 99 which went not astray." He says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." But you and I were the lost sheep, and Christ went into the world, and he shed his blood for you and for me. He died for you. You know, mourning the loss is the first thing we must do when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It is not just some kind of ritual that we go through each Sunday, but it is a time of reflection. It is a time for us to look back and to look forward and to look inward. At the communion, the first thing you do when you take that bread, or whether you break it or whether you place it within your mouth, is to chew it. Do you know that our sin broke the physical body of Jesus Christ, your sin and mine, and we were all guilty. And that's why today we memorialize his death upon the cross. But on Memorial Day, number two, we are not only to mourn the loss, but we are to remember the lives. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to forget. We are to remember the fallen soldiers and that they lived courageously. Do you know part of emotional healing in life is the process of grief? It is. but we are to remember the lives of our loved ones who have gone before. You know, not only do I think about the fallen comrades, but I think of people in this church who have served so many, many years, who have died and who have gone on to be with God. But they were great soldiers of the cross. And how thankful and how grateful we are for those who have lived. You know, when you look back on your life, you're thankful that they lived because they taught you the gospel. They taught you the truth of God's word. They taught you the importance of following God. These men, these soldiers, lived courageously. And they died courageously as well. But not only did they live courageously, they served loyally. You know, there's a difference between saying that you are a soldier of Christ. Sometimes people, as I mentioned the other day, are often in the inactive group. They're not in the active. They are away on leave, AWOL. But these men served valiantly and loyally. That means they were committed to a cause. You know, when you walk through the cemeteries, the headstones, we put on graves of those that we love and those who have gone before, serve as a testimony to the people who are buried there. And if you take a walk through the cemetery, there are some memorials of those who have died. Let me share with you this morning some epitaphs found. Sometimes you will see on those tombstones the words, "Gone too soon, beloved sons." Sometimes you'll see the words, "Dear parents, though we miss you so much, we know that you are with God, safe in the arms of Jesus." I like this one that says, "Faithful unto death, gone but not forgotten." A tender mother, a faithful friend, asleep in Jesus. "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And all of these messages tell us a little about the one who is buried beneath the sod and beneath that headstone, who they are and what they were about and how they lived. But today is also a day that we remember our Savior. We remember our Savior. Even though today is Memorial Day, honoring those who have fallen and those who have died in military service, it is that special day of significance for the Christian. But certainly it's appropriate to remember both, for the Bible says that we are to pay honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. But it is a day for us to remember our Savior. The Bible in the book of Acts chapter 10 says that he went about doing good. And I guess if that, there is no greater epitaph than that, to say that Jesus went about doing good. And the epitaph that he also left for us is that we are to serve as he served and to live as he lived. Do you know, inscribed on just about every communion table are these words you see before you this morning: "This do in remembrance of me." In 1 Corinthians 11:24, Paul says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." But what are we to remember? What are we to remember about Jesus? What did he want us to remember? Well, he wanted us, first of all, to remember that you and I are a part of the body of Christ. You and I have been brought into a covenant relationship with God because of his great death upon the cross. We are to remember his great love, John 3 and verse 16, "For God so gave." And that should be the very nature of the Christian, should it not be? Too many times in our world today, we live to get, not live to give. Jesus lived to give. We are to remember his supreme sacrifice, Matthew chapter 26. He said, I lay down my life that I may take it again. We are to remember his horrible suffering, Matthew chapter 27. And the suffering and the shame of going to the cross. You know, it's almost beyond us this morning how one could even face the horrible suffering that one human being faced when he went that Via Dolorosa, that is the way to the cross. But Jesus did. He suffered the shame and the pain and the agony that was brought upon him and the humiliation. And how grateful and how thankful we are this morning, we must never, ever forget. We are to remember his worthy example. For the Bible in the book of 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. That is, we're to live like Jesus. It is not a misnomer for someone to say that you may be the only Jesus that some people may ever identify with or see in this world. I wonder, when people look at your life, do they see Jesus Christ or do they see you? He left us an example that we're to follow in his steps. We're to be like him. Oh, we have our own personal identity, sure, but people ought to be able to know that we are in Christ and that he is in us by the way that we live and the way that we conduct our lives. Yes, we must mourn the dead. Remember their lives, the way they lived. But then we must be thankful for their sacrifices. It was Thomas Parsons who said, on thy grave the rain shall fall from the eyes of a mighty and a grateful nation. I don't know about you, but I have gone to the graves of those who have given their lives. I have shed tears. Not a sign of weakness, a sign of appreciation, a sign of honor, a sign of gratitude. My father served in World War I, and I think I've told you that before. But I have been to his grave, and I have seen the monument there many, many times. And every time I see that monument, I think about his great love for country. I think about his great courage, his great valor, and what he taught me. Not only that he taught me how to live, but he taught me more especially how to die. We ought to be thankful for the sacrifice of soldiers, the sacrifices regarding their families, their jobs, because there were many. Many have gone into battle and have given up a lot of things. They've given up their families. They've given up their jobs to not return to a job. Many have given up their limbs, their extremities, their arms, their legs, their eyes. And even their pursuit of happiness. Perhaps many of us will never know what it is to see a young child cry when his father goes off to war. Some of us will never know what it is to come back to their homeland without a leg or an arm or the ability to see. Some of us may never know what it is to go off to war and never ever come back again to the family that we love and the family we hold dear. Many live selfish lives in America, as I said. And sometimes all we really ever think about is what's in it for me. Sometimes people are unwilling to give of themselves to make the world a better place in which to live. How much do you do without compensation? Do you serve without having to be served? Paul said, I'll spend and be spent in the service of God. but many live selfish lives, and is counter to the teaching of Jesus Christ. For in Matthew 16 and 26, he said, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. But many of us look out for me, for number one, what I want, what I think, what I believe, what I desire, instead of the good of the whole. Selfishness. If our soldiers taught us anything and our Savior taught us anything, it was to live unselfish lives. Do you know that living in an America that we live in is a privilege, it's not a right? You ought to thank the God of heaven today that you live in America. You could have lived in Mexico. You could have been born there. You could have been born in the Mideast somewhere. You could have been born in India today, lying prostrate out on the sand and people walking over your body. You could have been born in Africa, in the jungles of that continent, hungering for some morsel that someone might choose to give you. But how thankful we ought to be that we live in America. But I will tell you, our freedom did not come without price. There is a price tag to all things. The price for our freedom was not money. Physically, it was not money spiritually, but it was the blood of both. The soldiers who shed their blood and our Savior who gave his on a cross. Our freedom did not come without price. And I will tell you this morning freely that the best way to honor our fallen comrades is to give up our selfish pursuits and think of others. We live in a selfish world. We do. And all we think about is self. But the best way to honor those on Memorial Day or any day is to follow their steps in unselfishness and deep commitment to a cause much greater than themselves. And that's exactly how they lived. I remember a number of years ago when the giant Goliath had taunted the people of God day after day. And seemingly there was no one who could rise up against Goliath. And a young sweet singer boy named David came down, left his father's sheep and came down to where his brothers were. In defense of the God that he loved. And Eliab, his older brother, was enraged that he had come. And he said, why would you leave the father's sheep and come down here where we are? And David gave these immortal words, and they are immortal. They register in my mind and will from now on. For David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And you know, when you look at our world today and we see these brave men who are going off to battle and those who are enlisting and those who are serving well around the world, perhaps they would say to those of us who would say it is unnecessary, is there not a cause? There is the cause of freedom. There is the cause of sacrifice. There is the cause of love. There is the cause of commitment. But not only did they sacrifice in life, they sacrificed in death. I have been with numerous families when loved ones have come back from battle, or perhaps maybe when a veteran dies, and a flag is presented to the family. And that officer, whoever he may be, from Barksdale Air Force Base, perhaps maybe, or Fort Hood, when they come to make a presentation of that flag to the family members, perhaps a widow or a widower, They will say, on behalf of the President of the United States and a grateful nation, we present this flag in tribute to the life of your loved one. It's a horrible thing to give up a son, a daughter, a loved one in death. But God blesses the families of those who gave their lives. And I would say to all of you on this Memorial Day, may God bless you and may He bless your family. And may your loved ones rest in peace. Memorial Day, we mourn the loss. We remember the lives. And we're thankful for the sacrifice. I'm thankful today more than anything for the sacrifice of Jesus. Because today is what we're about and what He is about. From birth until His death, Jesus Christ lived the sacrificial life. And quite appropriately so, because He was a sacrificial lamb. For in John 1 and verse 29, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Our physical freedom came from those who lived and died for our freedom. But our spiritual freedom today comes because Jesus died, and may we never, ever forget. Never. And may God help us to so live and serve and be faithful to death. For in the book of John 6, Jesus said, "He that would come to me, I will in no wise cast out." And in Mark the 16th chapter, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." And so from the desert sands of Iraq or perhaps Afghanistan, one can obey the gospel from there or from here. They understood soldiers have been immersed into Christ through the years, baptized in the desert sands of a far Mideast country, giving their lives in deep commitment unto God, and then dying, never to come home to the family that they left. Thankful for their commitment. Thankful this morning for the way that they lived, for the service that they rendered. And may God help us to follow in their steps and in the steps of Jesus, who taught us how to live and how to die. Memorial Day, it truly is a significant time. It's a time for all of us to say, "God, thank you." And I hope you will today. I hope you'll say it to a vet, to those comrades who yet live, and express your appreciation for what they have done and what they continue to do. This morning, if you're not a Christian, God is calling you to obey Him. The best way in the world that you can memorialize Jesus this morning and to honor Him is by giving your lives in His service. And we appeal to you this morning to become a soldier of the cross. And the Bible says that no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may give his life to Him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. I hope this morning that you are. I hope you're prepared to do that. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and you're willing to humble yourself, get rid of your pride, get rid of the selfishness, and humble yourself in obedience to His will, then this morning would you choose to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin and then to live deeply committed to Him all the days of your life? That someday before the great throne of God, He will pay tribute to the way that we have lived. He said He would, Matthew 10, 32. And the choice that God gives each of us is before you this morning. And I hope you make the right choice while we stand and while we sing.